Blog Talk Radio.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy holy name. When you call on the name of Jesus, you can be a witness.
Good evening. Good evening. Welcome to the First Baptist of Holly Springs Bible Study Power Hour. It is October the 12th, 2021, and you are listening to the First Baptist of Holly Springs Bible Study Power Hour. I am the pastor, Reverend Michael Rogers. I'm glad you have joined us tonight for our Bible study. First Baptist is located at 208 Grigsby Avenue, in the city of Holly Springs, North Carolina, where we at this time are now having in-person service. If you would like to come and be a part of the worship experience of First Baptist, you can do so Our services start Sunday morning, 10 a.m. each Sunday morning. You can come and be a part of the worship service of First Baptist of Holly Spring. We also invite you to go to our Facebook page. Go there. Don't forget to like and then share. On the Facebook page, you'll find more information concerning First Baptist of Holly Spring. You'll also find our Sunday morning service there each Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. You'll find articles and various Bible studies that you're listening to now. All of that can be found on the Facebook page of First Baptist of Holly Spring. So go there. Don't forget to like and then share so others will know that First Baptist is on Facebook. There are three ways in which you can give to the house of God. You can stop by the church between the hour of 10 and 11:30. Trustees are there to take care of your financial needs. You can mail your tithes or your offerings into the church. Go to the Facebook page and find the correct mailing address for that. You can also use the Cash App. We do have a Cash App. It starts with the dollar sign, the letters FBCHS, FBCHS. That stands for First Baptist Church, Holly Springs. You can be a supporter of the house of God. You can be a supporter tonight. So we ask that you go to our Facebook page. Also be a supporter of the house of God. We want to remind you that on the fourth Sunday of this month, we will be celebrating the 155th anniversary of First Baptist. You are cordially invited to come in person and be a part of that service, 10 o'clock Sunday morning. You can watch it over Facebook Live. All of the programs and all the services that we do are archived. That means you can go back to the Facebook page at any time, see any service or hear any Bible study that you would like to hear. There is a blue link for the Bible study. You can click on that link, and it will take you directly to the Bible study that you wish to hear. So go to the Facebook page. You'll find all the information that you can need for First Baptist of Holly Springs. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for this night. We thank you for those who are on the line, those who will be listening over the internet, those who will hear this Bible study long after it has been recorded. We thank you, God, for each and every member, each one of those who are supporters of this great ministry. We ask now, God, that you will continue to bless us as we continue to serve you. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Our lesson tonight is entitled God's Earth. God's Earth. We're coming from the book of Psalm, the 104th division of Psalm. The 104th division of Psalm. I'll pause while you find that. The 104th division of Psalm. We're going to start in verse 5 and go to verse 9, and then we'll go to verse 24 through 30. The 104th division of Psalm. Bible study lesson called God's Earth. David's life was so rich that it's no wonder he wrote most of the Psalms. He was Jesse's youngest son. He was a shepherd. He was anointed as king of Israel, and he defeated the giant Goliath with a stone and a slingshot. All of this was before he was an adult. Though he had many triumphs, David just had just as many trials. And his range of emotions is captured in the Psalms. He wrote Psalm 3 when his son Absalom rebelled against him. He wrote Psalm 51 as a confession, written after his adulterous relationship with Bathsheba and the murder of her husband. He wrote Psalm 142 while hiding from Saul in a cave. David was a progenitor for Jesus Christ, and he died at 70 years old. It is possible that the Israelites were in captivity during the time that Psalms 104 was written. Most people held against their will focus on the things they did not have, like freedom, security, and happiness. While in bondage, captives complained and they cried out to God to shake their fists in anger. However, because some scholars attribute this psalm to David, the purpose would be different. But David lived long before the Israelites went into captivity. If David had indeed was the author, he did just the opposite of raising his fists in anger when faced with difficult situations. In Psalm 104, he gave an account of the things that he knew could not be taken from him. He focused his attention on God's creation, emphasizing that it is God who creates, who sustains, who provides, and who preserves. In Psalm 104, David affirms that God has provided all our needs through his creation. So it is. It says that God is a God of order. In the first portion of our lesson tonight, order means to attend to the arrangement of items. The way in which items are arranged is an indication of their size, their importance, and when each will be dealt with. David boasted that God is so creative that he hung the earth on his own axis. And no matter how heavy it is or how many shocks it absorbs, it cannot fall or be moved. Then David covered it. He said, God covered it with waters, stood above the mountains. But because God's great creation, man could not live in such a place. God remanded the waters. They fled to more suitable places. At God's command, a boundary was formed that water could not cross over so that man could live. And so we go to that fifth verse. But before we go there, I just want to speak just for a minute about the according to the scriptures. God's provision is bountiful and seasonable. Let me say that again. God's provision is bountiful and seasonable. Verse 27 reads that these wait all upon thee, that thou givest them their meat in due season. And so when we go to the fifth verse of Psalm 104, we begin to read exactly what David meant. David, this great man of God, used these psalms as songs of praise to be sung with instruments in the temple. That's why he writes, who laid the foundation of the earth that it should not be removed forever? Thou coverest it with the deep as with a garment. The water stood above the mountains. Anyone who studies the psalms quickly learns that those things that were separated are part of God's creation. And so it is that David here separates his comments toward God. Psalms 104 belongs to the category of creation songs or psalms of creation. These words also include Psalm 8, Psalm 33, and 145. The psalms speak of the creative power of Almighty God. As such, they not only do not contain compliments, but they cry out to the Lord, but in various ways articulate the joy, the delight, the goodness, the coherence, and the reliability of God. God's governing law in Psalms 104 is a hymn of praise. It has been paired with the familiar structures of Psalm 104 praising the Creator King and later praising the Redeemer King, according to the Psalms. Then in verse 5, when he says, who laid the foundation of the earth? This first portion of the lesson, 5 through 9, comprises what many scholars describe as the material formation of the earth, which comes after the Psalms' introduction, praising God's loyalty, God's royalty, God's kingliness, and his splendor. It is said that this portion of the lesson of God's original activity from the second portion, which is his ongoing activity. So the first part of this lesson is the original activity, and the second part of this lesson is the ongoing activity. Some commentators call our two sections creating life and providing for life. In verse 5, God builds the earth like a skilled engineer with eternal predominance in mind. Here, the writer alternates voice from third person to adding God directly in verse 6, then back to third person in verse 8 and 9, focusing here on the third day of creation. See Genesis 1, 9 through 10. This account of creation is more poetic than the Genesis account. Whether creativity or descriptively, it seems clear that the waters completely covered our globe during the formation. In verse 7, it says, at thy rebuke they flee, at the voice of thy thunder they hasted away. Verse 8, they go up by the mountains, they go down by the valley, into the places which thou hast formed for them. Verse 9, thou hast set a boundary that they may not pass over, that they turn not again to cover the earth. The language stresses God's creative and all-powerful authority and uses nature's greatest sound to illustrate its incomparable power. Rushing water can be incredibly powerful and destructive. It's aptly demonstrated when we see certain floods that destroy roads and houses and everything in its path. But like a child, all the waters of the earth obey the thunderous voice of its creator. That's why he says their song title, My Redeemer Lives by Nicholas M. Millens, memorializes and captures that verse's message. But it says, who taught the sun where to stand in the morning? And who told the ocean you can only come this far? These lines that were written so many years ago by this great man, David. Now I want to go to verse 24. Let's go to verse 24. O Lord, how manifold are thy works. In wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. This second portion of our lesson talks about the provision of God. Some have called it the glory of the creation, the spiritual sustenance of earth. In these verses, not like in prior verses, this portion of the psalm writer elaborates on God's eternal interconnectedness with creation. Water first, finding its place, and then becoming a resource, sustaining earth, causing fruitfulness, each part of which is turned becomes the food and the seed and the supply of myriads of needs. Then everything is replenished and refreshed. Everything is replaced, but God's celestial sprinkler comes on talking about the rain, and it begins to refresh the earth. Everything God does, all his many works, are wonderful, magnificent, and excellent in every way. Individually or collectively, they reveal his wisdom, his power, creativity, and glory for humanity. His crowning achievement was man. So in verse 25, he writes, so is this great and wide sea, wherein all things creeping innumerable, both small and great be. There go the ships, there is the Leviathan, whom thou hast made to plague therein. From the perspective of ancient writers, both ships on the sea and sea creatures live. We find this in Psalm 34 and 19, Isaiah 33 and 21, Psalm 74 and 14, and Isaiah 27 and 1. These vessels who sailed upon the sea often saw the great creatures that God created in the ocean. In this verse, he calls it the Leviathan, or those creatures that live in the sea. It all speaks of the boundless creativity of God, representing all of the creatures that God had created in the sea. So it is that the ships on these great seas and the beasts of all kinds in the sea represents all of God's creation. Verse 27, these wait all upon thee, that thou mayest give them their meat in due season, is the source and the sustainer. He is the maker and the maintainer of everything that comes from him, and everything depends on him, including especially mankind. Verse 29. Thou hidest thy face. They are troubled. Thou takest away his breath. They die, and they return to dust. Thou sendest forth thy spirit. They are created, and thou renewest the face of the earth. When we talk about the breath, we're talking about the wind and the spirit of the wind and the mind of the wind. It is the same word used in Genesis 1 and 2. The spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, as well as in Genesis 7:22, referring to all the creatures taken aboard the ark. All in those times were the nostrils of breath that God blew into them to be living beings. A quick look at the verb in his last four verses gives an overlook of all God does. He gives food to all, opens his hand, and fulfills creation with good things. He hides his face, he takes away, and he gives life and breath. He sends his spirit, and he renews everything. Consider what God is saying. You hide your face, they panic. You gather up your breath, they perish. They return to the dirt. You send out your spirit, they are created. You renew the face of the ground. Our study tonight talks about God's earth. And the reason why I chose this story tonight, and I'm not trying to go into the concept of green energy or global warming, but we must know today that God created this earth. This earth is a living being. Everything that God creates has life in it, just like he gave life to the trees, to the birds, to the bees, like he gave life to the animals that live in the sea. The earth that we live on is a living entity. And like any living entity, it fights to stay alive. This is why we have so many problems with weather today. It's trying to replenish itself. It is trying to renew itself. It is a thing that's trying to live. We dig in it. We plant in it. We build tall skyscrapers on it. Pollution. With this new concept of digging for oil, drilling for oil, fracking for gas, all of these things can be considered an assault on a living thing. Because it is being assaulted, the earth now begins to work the way it should in order to replenish itself. This is what this lesson is all about. David talks about the wonderful creative ability of God and how he created the earth and all the things that he put upon the earth, including us, that we all must live. And because God's creative ability goes so far, that it also provides for us. It provides a place for us to live. It provides a place for us to breathe. It provides a place for us to be. No other place in the universe can human beings live but on earth. God created it for us. So we must take care of what God has created. And the mere fact that we are working against God's creation causes us to wonder what is happening with the earth today. The essence of this passage is that God is both giver and sustainer of the very breath and the spirit within all living things. He alone gives and sustains and takes life away. Something noteworthy about creation, though, through the eyes of faith, is that it's not a one-time event. God did not create the earth and then leave it alone to its own devices or some random evolutionary process. Our God is an interactive God. He speaks creation into existence. In the beginning, an expression of himself. In Romans 1 and 20, you find that. And he continues his activity, maintaining every part, especially tending, like a loving father, the most unique creation of all, Homo sapiens, you and I. Mankind's earth and our entire universe are divinely inspired, divinely created, divinely maintained. Ecosystems, there's no theory or philosophy other than Christian understanding that God is the creator and the sustainer of all that we see. And so it is that David wrote this song. He wrote it as a song of praise. Also, he wrote it to remind us of the great creative power of God and how he has placed us on this earth, how we must take care of the place that he has given us. For this earth is our home, and we must take care of it. It is a living entity, and it will fight to survive. No matter how much we try, no matter what we do, it will fight to survive. And we must be cognizant of the fact that God placed us here to live with and according to the earth. This is why he wanted to know who flung the earth in its space, who laid the foundation of the earth that it should not be moved, and then who covered it with the deep of a garment, the waters that stood above the mountains. But David is saying that when God called the waters to seek to receive and provide a place for mankind to live, could not live on an earth full of water. So God separated the land from the water that we may have a place to live. Therefore, we are called on and required to take care of the place that we live. We need to take care of God's earth. This is not our place. This is God's earth. We must know today that through his creative power, God meant so much to us that we must mean more to the earth. I'm going to open the lines tonight. There may be some who would like to discuss it. I know that this is a lesson, of course, talking about the creative power of God and how David wanted to celebrate it. But I also wanted us to think about what we're doing today in the world and how we're treating the world. This great gift that God gave us. There is no other planet in the universe like Earth. There is no way for us to go. We see billionaires shooting themselves in rockets, trying to reach the moon or Mars or wherever they're trying to go. But that will be a long way away, beloved, for mankind. All we have is the earth that God created, the seasons that God gave us, the night and the day, and the natural wonders that God gave us. Land and sea also display the greatness of God. He determines where they should be and how far they should extend. Mountains and rivers show God complete control over the powers of nature so that the land is well watered and able to support. And then God caused the rain to fall down upon the earth. Because of God's control, the earth supplies people with animals and food and with all the other materials necessary for mankind to live safely and securely. He arranges seasons and nights and days to give us the time to come together. to plant and then to harvest. Yes, the psalmist pursues the praise of God for the vastness of his creation and for the wisdom of the design and the fact that he maintains it. He then returns to his consideration of the natural world by showing how the immeasurable sea speaks further of God's greatness. It is all full of the power of God. We should understand that and take care of God's earth. To the line, there may be someone tonight who would like to speak on Psalm 104. It is a psalm that many of us have probably read in our Bibles. And many of you may have wondered what this psalm was all about. So we're going to open the line. Erico, 919, last four digits, 2534. Are you on the line?
Yes, good evening, Pastor.
Good evening.
I am in awe of this lesson tonight. It was so very simple, but you open minds to how complex it is, because I, for one, have read Psalms number 24 many, many times, at least the first verse of it. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. I had not explored in depth all the other verses that you gave us tonight that explains how I've seen 104 before, Psalms 104, but I had not really went in depth and broken it down and saw how it all points back to Psalms 24 and how 24 points back to 104 and all the other scriptures that you gave us tonight. So I had my pen going, so thank you very much. I will be continuing to read that, and tonight I have been blessed with the Word of God.
Thank you so very much.
Helped me realize, you know, we think about a gift as in health or financial or our possessions, you know, which we should be kind of above, but, you know, now, this right here, you know, let us look at, you know, the earth that was given to us, such a great gift from creation to provision, how it continues to give back to us and how we need to take better care of it. Thank you.
Thank you so very much. I'm going to come back to you in just a few minutes. I'm going to go to someone else right quickly. 919, last four digits, 6615. Are you on the line?
Yes. Good evening, Pastor.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm good. I'm doing good. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed the lesson so far. I always had read some of the read a lot of the songs, you know, talking about the earth, but it's really one of the first times that I got the ones that you read tonight of, you know, the things that God has provided, everything that we need, and, you know, the earth being one that, you know, we've been given to live here, to take care of, for the sun, the rain, you know, stars in the sky, all the stuff, you know, that God created just so we would have what we need, you know. I'm just in total awe of your lesson about the earth, because sometimes we just don't think about, you know, we don't think about those things, but they're very important that we take care of things and we don't pollute it and, you know, do things that we don't have to do, things that we, you know, take shortcuts and do what we could do better.
Absolutely.
Because
you're
it is a blessing to have, you know, what we have in the earth. It's just truly a blessing. I'm always amazed. That's one thing. When I go to the beach and I look at the ocean, and I always say, God, I thank you, because it stops right in time. And I know nobody couldn't do that but God. That's one of the things I often would say when I, it's so amazing to me when I see the ocean. Why does it stop? Like, you know, so the water don't cover the earth.
Right.
It's just, that's it. That's just amazing to me.
You're absolutely right. If we remember from our elementary school, the earth is 3/4 water and 1/4 land. So there's three times as much water as there is land. And you're absolutely right. It stops at the right place at the right time. So you're absolutely correct. Area code 910, last four digits, 5088. Are you on the line?
Yes, I am, Pastor.
Let me ask you something. Have you ever thought of the earth as being a living?
Not the way you were. The way you were explaining it tonight, yes, but I haven't. When you went through this 104, the verses you went through, that was something that I've read it before, but I haven't seen, you know, read it that, did the study on it.
Yeah, a lot of people
thank you for
don't
breaking that
it.
Down for me. And it is important that we do take care of where we at. We was riding today and looking at litter, you know, how people just throw stuff out. And some places people are assigned to clean up different areas. And we were going by a road today, me and my mom, and I was saying, I know the people get tired of cleaning up this road every day. Not every day, but every time they're assigned to clean it up. And people, and it's probably the same people that just throw things out. And then it's like a group of folk that be on a van. I don't know if there was a church or I don't know. I have seen prisoners or people that were in prison clean up roads. But I brought that up today about littering and not taking care of your area that you're in.
Amen. Area code 919, last four digits, 2314. Are you on the line?
Yes, sir. I'm on the line, Reverend Rogers. How's everybody doing?
Good.
I just have a little bit here to say. In the Psalms 104, or in Psalm 104, you know, really it's describing the 6 days of God's creation, you know, in Genesis 1. And because of God, the earth as a whole would never be shaken. That was in this the fifth verse that you were saying, that you was talking about. What I'm saying is, even though we may experience natural, like disasters, such as devastating earthquakes and tornadoes and floods, you know, it will never be shaken. And see, at one time, as you was explaining, the waters covered entire earth. The waters had hid the land and the mountains from dew, but God, he put them under the waters. And then him being the creator, he put the mountains and the seas, and there too, then he revealed what he had hidden when he chose to do so. That was his timing. And then then 20 in verse 29, I had read something I got out of that. That now God sometimes allows or causes his creatures to not have everything they need or want. For example, with St. Job, you know, he was dismayed at his losses, but God revealed his faithfulness back to Job. I think that's about all I have on that.
Well, thank you so very much. You hit the nail on the head, particularly talking about the creative power of God. Deacon Taylor, just heard me and you heard Trustee Megan a minute ago talking about the earth not being shaken. Now, that is true. But But what about the people that live on earth? When the earth is, well, let me put it this way. When a living thing is threatened, what does it do?
With the instincts that has been given to any living creature, if it's used to being dry and you know, the water starts to rise, that living thing searches for a higher land. It starts not to be continuously wet.
But when a living thing is threatened, what does it do?
It reacts. It tries to find
exactly.
a solution.
Okay. Right. It fights back.
Yes.
That's what a living thing does. All living things fight to live. All living things fight to live.
Mm-hmm.
There are times when we look at our television sets and we see volcanoes erupting. That's the earth fighting to live. The earth is fighting to live. Why is it fighting to live? Because we have done so much to it and not considered it to be part of God's created ability.
Uh-huh.
We don't look at the earth as something like that. We look at the earth as an inanimate object. But when the earth is just as real as we are, and if you want to know the truth about it, the Bible even breaks it down to the fact that we are made of the same thing as the earth, dust.
Yeah.
So when we see the earth fighting back, that should tell us that there's something wrong. What do you think, Deacon Taylor, about the oil spills that we've been having in the last few years?
Straight negligence of man, just disrespect, negligence, not thinking about how in depth that one problem is going to cause many other problems. Clearly, we have gotten away from reading these scriptures that tells us how valuable the earth is to us, and man is constantly seeking what he can do for himself, or a company is seeking for that dollar sign and pushing more what it can do, which is hurting the earth more and more.
Exactly. I don't know how many billions of gallons of oil have spilled in the last 10 or 15 years, but it has done a traumatic damage to the oceans. This is why we see ocean animals beaching themselves and dying. And it also has caused the natural balance of the earth to be off, particularly in the waters. And people who make their living, or used to make their living, find it very difficult. All of this is part of tearing down God's creation. I want to go... Sister Paula, are you still there?
Yes.
I'm sorry. Paula, let me ask you a question. Do you know that there is no new rain?
What?
There is no new rain.
No, I didn't know that.
Okay. All the rain, all the water that's on this earth has always been here. There is no new rain. Rain does not come from outer space. It goes up from the ocean into the sky, down as rain. It's a recycling concept. There is no new rain. There's no new water. Everything, every drop of water that falls on this earth has been here. The water that fell yesterday might have evaporated 200 years ago. I don't know. But there's no new water. You understand?
Yeah, I do.
So,
I didn't know that, though. That's awesome. I didn't know that.
So what do you think we ought to do with our water?
Oh, wow. What do you mean what we should do with it?
I mean, as far as pollution is concerned, and as far as chemicals are concerned, pretty soon the rain is going to become poisonous.
Oh, yeah, because you say that the water is coming from the ocean.
Right.
And where that's turning into rain, coming back
that's
as
right.
rain, right?
That's right.
So
what
we should take
up, care, come down.
We care of the... Make sure we're careful, especially like he was saying, the companies and different, you know, the shipping and different things of, you know, different things that we're doing and the oil spills and all. We have to take care of the land and be more cautious of the things that we do, trying to make money because we're really destroying, I mean, those people are destroying, you know, the earth, causing problems. That's what I think.
Ms. Banger, when we see people who are negligent of the life of mankind on earth, don't you think it speaks to the disbelief of God's creative ability? Some people still believe in evolution, but don't you think that speaks to creative ability?
Yes.
They don't have any thought for man or God.
That's right.
If you gave me a present and I stepped on it and put it in the mud and ran through it and knocked it down, drilled a hole in it, set it on fire, you would think I don't appreciate your present, right?
That's right. Not appreciative.
Exactly. And that's how God feels when he sees what we're doing to his earth. God created earth. It's not our earth. It's his earth. And he allowed us to live on it. So we don't show appreciative that we appreciate the aspect. Another question. Maybe somebody else can and answer that. In verse 24, O Lord, how manifold are their works. In wisdom, thou hast made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. How do you see that? Anybody see that as a problem for mankind today? Now, just to follow you, you hit on it, but what does that say? Anybody? Well, what he's saying is, he's talking about how rich the earth is. But what has happened is, because man has found out that there's gold, silver, diamonds, oil, gas, all of these things are in the earth. And what we're doing is using those minerals, money, without any thought of what we're doing to the earth. I tell you, this new thing called fracking really drill holes into the rocks of the earth to let the gas come out. How do we know what's going to happen when we do that? How do we know that the tectonic plates won't shift when that happens? I mean, you know, the earth, like the Bible said, the earth will be all right. I'm not worried about the earth. I'm worried about those of us who live on it. That's the problem. The earth has been here long before we were here, and it'll be a long after we're gone. So our problem is how do we deal with this earth while we're on it? Because that's the problem. That's what God wants us to understand. Yes, he's going to take care of the earth. The earth has been here for billions of years. Mankind has only been here for a few hundred thousand years. So the earth will always be here. It will not be shaken, but mankind, not treating the earth properly, will perish. And this is what he wants us to know. Don't be so caught up with the earth's riches and all the things that are in the earth. diamond. Ms. Megan, how much you reckon a 5-carat diamond cost?
These days are probably about $20,000.
That's about right. $20,000 for a rock. Ain't that something? $20,000 for a rock. That's what we're doing to the earth. And to dig for diamonds, you got to go deep into the earth. You got to put a huge gash into the earth. You got to tear into it to bring diamonds out. No wonder the earth shakes, quakes. No wonder the earth does what it does. It's simply fighting to survive. That's what David, even though David did not know it at the time of writing the psalm, David was the first conservationist. He was the first one to talk about the glory of God's earth and how the earth is related to mankind. We are made of the same stuff the earth is made of. Same thing. Somebody broke down the human body a few years ago, and you'd be surprised what's in the body. Phosphorus, silver, all of the minerals that are in the earth are in the human body. And so as we treat the earth, we treat our bodies because it's all connected. That is the great creative power of Almighty God. He created everything to be connected, and we are all supposed to be connected to him. And when we break that connection or we do anything to thwart that, we suffer in ways that we don't even imagine. We must be cognizant of the fact that nature cannot be controlled.
Mm-hmm.
That's what our lesson is about. Go right in.
Rogers. In verse 8, I was reading, mm-hmm. I just want to say this one little thing. It was said that God, he created an orderly world for people, animals, mm-hmm. and plants to live. He already did everything that we need to be doing. So he created an orderly world for people, animals, and plants to live.
Mm-hmm. And who's the only thing?
Try to do everything.
And who's the only thing on the earth that does not follow his order?
Man.
Exactly.
Yeah. Man.
Everything else follows mm-hmm. God's order. Everything. The oceans come in at the right time. They go out at the right time. Birds fly to the south at the right time. They fly to the north at the mm-hmm. right time. Flowers bloom at the right time. They go to sleep at mm-hmm. the right time. Mm-hmm. Everything has a schedule and works according to God's will, except mm-hmm. for man.
Okay.
This is why David wrote this song. He said, these wait all upon thee, that they mayest give them their meat in due season. Our lesson mm-hmm. tonight deals with a very important lesson, that God's provisions are not only bountiful, they're also seasonable. That goes against the grain of those who think that God's provision can be called on. No, they're seasonal. God provides when he wants to, not when we want to. That's why we sing the song, he may not come when you want him, but he's always on time. Mm-hmm. You got to remember that God has his own time. He has his own season. And we must wait on God in order to get things done. But I thank all of you tonight who have been on the line. This is a lesson, like I said before, I didn't want to get into the green peace thing. I didn't want to sound like a tree hugger So many people are talking about folk who are into nature and trying to preserve the whales and trying to preserve the owls. These things are very important. It might not sound like it, but they're very important. And as Christians, as people of God, we ought to know more about that than anybody else, because we know that God gave us a creation and on this earth to sustain us. And if we don't take care of it, we're going to find ourselves in deep trouble. The earth itself may survive, but we may not, because we will destroy the great gift that God has given us. We must understand today that God's provision is all bountiful and seasonal. We must understand that God's will must be done. I thank God for all of you who are on the line tonight. Anybody have anything else to back in? Anybody have anything else they want to add?
All right.
Deacon Taylor, would you pray for us?
Heavenly Father, we come to you this evening as humble as we know how, giving you thanks for your provision that is bountiful and seasonal. How you replenish it over and over and over again, Father. How you keep on blessing us. When we realize it, when we thank you, when we overlook it, Lord, you keep on blessing us. Lord, we thank you right now for your many, many blessings, those that we see and those that we don't even observe on a daily basis. Lord, we thank you for the word that reminds us of what you do, what you need us to do. Lord, we thank you right now for the teacher that teaches your word, Father. Lord, we ask that you bless each and every heart and mind and ear that was in attention tonight, Father, that paid attention to this lesson, that took time to join in to this Bible study, Father. We ask that you bless each and every household, each and every one that was in participation, Father. Lord, we thank you right now for what you have done, what you're going to do, Father. Lord, bless us to be more observant of your word, your will, your way, Father. Bless us to be more observant of how we treat this earth, Lord, that you gave to us, Lord. Bless us to be more observant to how we treat our bodies, this temple that you gave to us, Father. Lord, we'll be so ever careful to praise and thank your name and give you and you only the praise. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you all so very much.
Amen.
We'll see you Sunday. Have a great week.
All right. Good night.
You too.
Good night.
Good night. Night.
He said he wouldn't move.